Hello, everyone, and welcome to State of the Realm. We're back with another week of speculating on Dawn Trail actions. We have just about 2 weeks, a little under 2 weeks, until the job action trailer. And so we got a couple roles still to fill in. We got casters this weekend, supports. We're going to have to lug tanks and healers together next week. I don't know how that show is going to go with how long it's going to be. But let's talk about the last of the DPS that we didn't finish last week. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Happy, of course, joining me with his mint julep for the third week in a row. He's finishing it up just as we speak here during the pre-show and the intro. Sly, how you doing, Sly?
Doing awesome. Yeah, I think I turned the air on. It was fucking hot. Yeah, doing awesome. Derby weekend.
Derby weekend.
So, of course, Derby weekend.
What was the reason the other 2 weekends then, Sly?
Because
I was less different than this week. You need a reason for it.
Think of those as practice.
All right, fine. Now, of course, I play a bit of caster, but, you know, we're not really known for our caster gameplay, so we had to bring on a guest who could definitely give a more expert opinion on the role. And so we've invited first-time guests, first time they're joining us on Sailor Realm, Exuplosion. Hello, Exu.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I am doing quite well for a Friday.
Yep. For a Friday? Are the Fridays usually not good? Do they usually not go well?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes I'm busy, but today was a pretty open day, so feeling pretty good about that.
Awesome. And so we managed to take that from you for a couple of hours.
Well, sorry. If I'm talking about Final Fantasy, it feels fine, so.
All right. Fair enough. Well, we'll keep it succinct. We won't go too much over the 2 hour time if we can avoid it. Although, when it comes to the caster role, we joked about a whole bunch of extra things to talk about during the pre-show, whether it's the fifth caster. Which you don't have much experience.
What do you mean fifth caster? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the fifth caster. Fishing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Caster. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Then the sixth one as well.
No. Doesn't exist.
I promise I won't talk about fishing.
I mean, we can talk about fishing. I love fishing. I mean, yeah. Fishing chill is a thing.
Yeah, that's the one type of caster that Sly knows a decent bit about here.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Not quite to the crazy. It's more chill. You didn't do much big fishing, did you, Sly?
No, not a lot of big fishing, but yeah, just, you know, fish to feed.
Nice.
Those are my favorite types of fish. I love eating. Anyway, before we get started talking about the casters, just quick shout out to the sponsors over on Patreon for supporting. Nobody has to support. They choose to support. All our content's available for free on YouTube and podcast formats, whether it be directly through SoundCloud or through RSS feeds via your favorite podcast app. So be sure to enjoy it wherever you please. And thank you to all who choose to support and for tuning in. So, casters. Now, before Sly and I give our very brief experience with the caster role, Exu, it's your first time. I think you deserve a full-blown introduction for yourself so everybody knows your experience with the role and with Final Fantasy XIV. So give us the Exu spiel. Wow, that was really hard to say.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Exu. I stream Final Fantasy XIV. I make YouTube videos sometimes, mostly about Black Mage. So I post POV videos of, you know, Savage and Ultimate, make some guide content for the role. I'm a caster main at heart. I've been playing the game since patch 4.3 in Stormblood, but I only started kind of raiding seriously in patch 5.0 with Eden. And yeah, I mainly just do Savage, Ultimate, speedrunning, do kind of week one hardcore prog, and as of late, fishing.
Oh, it's always the fishing. So they said you weren't going to talk about it.
Yeah, boy.
Immediately went to it. It was the end of the intro. Fishing. Okay. I'll give you this. Let's get the fishing bit out of the way. How is your big fishing going?
It is going well. I'm like halfway there to final fish.
How many are there total? Do you know?
There's like 280 fish or something that you need to catch in total. Something like that. Yeah.
Kill me.
We're around halfway there.
Sounds like you'll be busy till Dawn Trail.
Yeah, I don't think I'll finish either.
No, I don't think you will either. Especially if there's another, what's the one that went missing for a month? The
Bob Goblin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that one though. I had to wake up at 4 a.m, but I got it. Just practice for waking up early for the live letter.
I was going to say, I know so many people say, I don't know how you wake up early for the live letter. By the way, I set my alarm to get a fish at 2 a.m. I was like, this is just wake up. Friggin' Bob Goblin. All right. Only casting mention of fish. As an ocean fishing connoisseur, I'm PTSD every time fishing comes up. It's 3 months of my life just gone to that damn boat. Ugh. So, actual casters. Sly, what is your experience on casters?
Black Mage.
Okay, but the level
explosion.
Of
explosion. Not the guess, but you know, actual explosions. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's an Xu in there. It's just explode. Yeah. That's it. That's the end of the spiel. How much, Black Mage, I assume you just leveled it and maybe did a little bit extra with it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean, like again, with Embalker, it was like, I pretty much did one of each role. I mean, kind of had to did. You know, get that story, little story bit. So, the one I chose was Black Mage, of course. It felt the funnest to play, I'd say, out of all the casters. I didn't want to be a, summoner eating crayons. I didn't want to be a caster with an identity of a melee. So yeah, Black Mage.
Damn. Summoner statement. Okay. Ringing true.
Hey, don't. I take no credit for that. I give all that to Miru. She said it first.
I mean, we've all said it. A lot of us have said it about Summoner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a decent amount of experience on Black Mage. Seems there's a running theme with that here on the show. And everyone says nobody plays Black Mage because it's scary, right? Got three people who prefer Black Mage right here. It's perfect. Yeah.
It's not scary.
It's a little scary when you first start it.
It can be daunting at first, yeah.
At first, yeah. It's like, what do I do? There was the old Summoner, like, 5-minute opener, and then there was, you know, old Black Mage. And, you know, both of them felt daunting, but Black Mage was the lesser two evils.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the 5-minute summoner opener either. So I totally feel you on that being to me more daunting than not being allowed to move if you can avoid it.
Right.
That being said, I have spent, well, most of my time has been spent on Black Mage on caster whenever I do have the choice. You know, summoner obviously has been a teeter tottering choice over the years and this expansion, you know, there was almost a chance I was summoner week one. But we ended up moving things around a little bit. That came very close to happening in Asphodelos. But of course, then they remembered I played Fizz Ranged. And I was like, it's the same thing. Can I just say Summoner, please? We don't need the 5%. It's not necessary. Which, I mean, we'll talk about it on this show. It's been an interesting expansion for Summoner, to say the least. Hopefully more interesting going into Dawn Trail. And I hate Red Mage with a burning passion.
Why is that?
I just hate how it feels. And this expansion, I get tired of hearing can't raise melee combo.
We'll get to the whole Red Mage discussion because like it leans into like a little bit of what you were saying last week, Happy, but yeah, that's the same issue I have with Red Mage.
What, the feel?
No, identity.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Well, since we all seem to know, actually, Exu, you mentioned mostly Black Mage, but you didn't mention Summoner or Red Mage much.
Yeah.
I do play all the casters. I would say my Red Mage and Summoner time is mostly spent during progression, just because it's more time efficient for my team when we're, you know, hardcore progging in the first couple of days to have the resurrection. I wouldn't say I, you know, go to the level of like spreadsheeting and fully optimizing Red Mage and Summoner where I would go to that level for Black Mage at the end of the day, but I would say I'm decently knowledgeable on those two jobs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that, I guess we'll start with since we're two of us don't like Red Mage, and you just dabble for Prague's sake, begrudgingly, I'd assume. It's a flying Black Mage. We could start with Red Mage because we're largely talking about how the jobs are now and what we kind of want or expect for them going into Dawn Trail. And I don't know about you, Exu, but I actually have no idea what's happening to any of, like, I can't even remotely fathom, like, what happens next for any of the casters, except maybe Summoner a little bit because it's a real blank slate.
Okay. Yeah. I've got some ideas cooking for some of the casters, especially for Black Mage. I've been doing a lot of, you know, thinking, rewatching the benchmark a lot. People started pointing out things to me. They're like, oh, if, you know, things are glowing blue, it means it's an OGCD. I just learned that like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing a lot of thinking about stuff like that because definitely with Black Mage, everyone was kind of thinking that this job is really complete. Like they've done so much quality of life changes in Stormblood, Shadowbringers, and Endwalker that like there's not a lot of people really like the way it plays right now, and it's hard to add to it without taking something away at some point or taking some sort of comfort away. But still managed to come up with a couple of ideas there for Black Mage, definitely.
All right. Well, we'll start with the thing you probably have less ideas for, Red Mage. Because you said that about Black Mage, it's largely complete. Is it just me, or has Red Mage been that way since it released? And it seems like almost like the devs have kind of agreed, given the updates it's gotten since Stormblood, which is an extra button at the end pretty much every time.
Well, yeah, it hasn't gotten much in the last couple of expansions. Like, obviously, with Shadowbringers, you got Scorch, and then with Endwalker, you get, okay, yay, a third button that you press. And it would not shock me, big shocker, if there's a fourth button that they add in Dawn Trail. I think a lot of people hope that they don't do that. But really, all they did for Red Mage and Endwalker was they, if you even want to call it like a change, they just, you know, upgraded the potencies of your Verthunder and Verarrow. And called it a new ability. And then they gave Magic Barrier, which, to be honest, is pretty good. It kind of added a lot more utility to the job, which it needed because, you know, Summoner had Phoenix Regeneration and things like that, where Red Mage didn't really have anything besides Vercure, which you don't really want to use in combat.
Downtime, at least.
But yeah. It is a downtime tool, yeah.
It's so funny mentioning the Vercure, because you want to hear a funny story about, I think it was Stormblood. Yeah, it would have had to have been. I got a message in Sigmascape, someone asking for advice in raid. They were a Red Mage, and they said that, how do I convince my team not to make me Vercure a mechanic? So in Guardian, he shoots a fire missile at someone, it just dots them, and they have to be healed through the dot. That's the whole mechanic. And they were making the Red Mage do it.
That's terrible.
You want to know the reason?
Yeah, what is it?
The healers were DPSing.
Oh, I see. The parse pilled healers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This was Prague, though.
Oh, man.
That's even worse.
Yeah, they left that group. That person left that group. I was like, leave and don't look back. I'd rather not raid than do that in any capacity. But it's interesting you mentioned the much needed utility, because Red Mage has a utility reputation, one that has plagued it, I might argue, for quite some time, and that is the res bot. Where are you on res status for casters? Because there's been a lot of discussion, since we know Picto is not going to have one, about its effect on the caster role and how casters are perceived in content because of it.
Yeah, I don't think that they're getting rid of it. I feel like if they were going to get rid of it, they would have told us already. I could completely be wrong, and maybe in you know, 2 weeks when he's showing the slides on all the jobs, he's like, oh, by the way, we removed caster res. I don't think that's going to happen. It is a little unfortunate that it seems like Red Mage and Summoner are suffering in the damage output because they've got this res tax, basically, on them. Red Mage has, like, I guess there is, like, the prog fantasy of, like, oh my god, like, four people just died, I can basically resurrect everyone in, like, 10 seconds, and that feels really good, but it also seems a bit cheesy that you can even do that, and not really have a ton of consequences. Like, you obviously spend a bunch of mana, but it's not, like, a huge impact to progression or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people that I've talked to have had various ideas as to what they'd want to do with that for Red Mage, like being able to keep the resurrection but not lose DPS in some way. Like, what if you had a... like the PvP Red Mage, I don't know if you've played it, but you've got the white mana shift and the black mana shift.
Fucking
where you
mess.
Could have, like, yeah, exactly. Where one side of it is more supporty and the other side is more damage focused. So I've been talking to some people. A lot of people seem to like that idea where, you know, you could opt for, like, the white magic stance where maybe you've got resurrections available, kind of similar to what you've got now. But you wouldn't be able to kind of switch between the poles. Like, maybe you could start with the white magic stance at the start when you're progressing, and then once you're more comfortable, you could switch to a more damage-oriented stance when your group kind of needs that. It's definitely something that people have suggested to kind of minimize the strength of the combat res. I've had the idea before that what if caster res just gives you brink, whereas healer res gives you weakness? just to disincentivize it a bit, but it kind of sucks. I do think being able to shift between, like, being more supporty and more damage oriented would be a good idea for Red Mage on the combat res thing. For Summoner, it sounded like they were really close to deleting combat res from Summoner. If I recall, Yoshi-P's reasoning was that, oh, it's on Arcanist, so we're going to keep it on Summoner. I don't know if they need to keep it in 7.0, but I don't think there's really any reason for them to deviate from that, because then you just have Red Mage as a res caster, and now everyone's just going to want a Red Mage if that's the case.
Yeah, that largely seems to be the problem, is you can't add any more, you can't take... Well, actually, you can only add more. You can't take away any more without taking them all away, pretty much. Because otherwise, yeah, you run into that issue. Yeah. Would you be in favor of all of them going? So, it's funny, because the problem I have with the res is that I 100% want Red Mage to have it when I'm doing Alliance raids. Or, like, Bozia or Eureka or whatever the new... Like, yes, please, have it. Please. Everyone's dying. But not in raids. Do you think they would ever do a limitation on it?
I think they could do a limitation, kind of like... I think it's like Criterion, where you can get, like, one raise or something like that, where maybe you would have a limited number of times you could res in the fight. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Honestly, if they kept combat res the way it is, like, I personally am like, okay, that's fine too. And if they completely removed it, I would be okay with that as well. Honestly, like, either way they go, like, I think people are gonna get mad in some way. In my opinion, I'm just gonna try and make the best of whatever decision they do on that side of things. But I do think they could explore, limiting it in some way, like, having a limited number of caster reses in a fight.
I just feel bad for Red Mage. Like, I may not like it, but I feel bad that they're just always struggling to be relevant post prog. They're just like, you don't want to be only good for one. And they're not. Don't get me wrong. You can go Red Mage for whatever you want. If you want to main it, go ahead. But there's always that weird feeling, like, the one thing everyone knows you for is when you don't have to do it, it's like, so why are you still playing that? Huh?
I think a lot of caster players end up going down the black mage rabbit hole after progression, because they're trying to feel something after playing a res bot for all the prog.
Now, you mentioned them just getting an extra, potentially, a seventh part of their melee combo. Toxic, but I also kind of agree. Do you think it's the whip that we saw from
I don't know, because I was rewatching the benchmark trailer earlier, and I noticed that it had the blue glow thing that OGCDs have.
Yeah.
Now I didn't like. I know that sometimes that can, you can see that on like not OGCDs as well. I'm pretty sure. So I was thinking it was just some sort of upgrade to like Fletch or Contra 6 in some way, but I don't think it looks fancy enough to be something after resolution. So I think that's something they would save for the actual job trailer rather than show off in the benchmark, because I think they're trying to save all the flashy stuff till the live letter.
Yeah,
all the level 100 super special abilities that are going to get you hooked to pre-order the expansion.
Sly, you look like you had a thought.
One thing I really think about with Red Mage, I think is mainly, well, another huge thing besides the whole melee combo thing, cast times.
God, it's so weird how Red Mage is the least mobile when it's casting. Like, it's such a weird, like, dichotomy from how it was always perceived before.
It's not even that. It's like, Red Mage could do with a reduced cast time, so, like, weaving could be a little bit better.
Essentially, every other GCD get to weave is what you're saying. Yeah. So you'd want to be able to weave even outside of. I think it would just be cool because their fast casting is such a Red Mage thing. Like, they went with it with the instant cast. But honestly, if Red Mage was slinging more frequently, I think it would give it a little bit more flavor. It's fastest during its melee combo, but like its speed outside is kind of just standard, you know, because you're mostly just using it to move.
Yeah.
How about you, Exu? Where are you on that? Is there any sort of like fundamental change, like something like that, that you think could just give Red Mage flavor?
I think, just to echo what you said, Red Mage, I definitely agree with you that it's probably the most or least mobile of the three casters. Everyone likes to think Black Mage is not mobile, but you are very flexible with like your usages of Triple Cast and Swift Cast. You can move for like, you can do like 8 or 9 instant casts in a row if you really wanted to, and complete. That's enough for basically any mechanic that this game can throw at you. But yeah, for Red Mage, I honestly personally like the like spell slinging aspect, building up your gauge. I played a lot of Red Mage in Stormblood just because I really hated level 70 Black Mage gameplay, so that was basically what I did to do my MSQ and, you know, do some extreme trials and things like that. I'm kind of okay with that, but I know it's weird for them because they can't really move very well unless they have a melee combo available. The nice thing that they did for Endwalker is they made the melee combo 50 mana each, so it's a bit easier to hold on to it. You're not, previously in Shadowbringers, you had to be at 80 mana, 80 black and white mana to use it. So now you can stockpile a bit more and save your gauge, you know. If you were trying to do, like, top P6, like the wave cannons without a melee combo, you kind of just have to burn swift cast acceleration and then, okay, I have nothing left, I have to, like, use reprise. And that doesn't feel great either. So It does have a movement problem, but they've helped it out a bit with reducing the mana needed for the melee combo itself.
Well, I mean, the main reason I ask is because there's the concern that it kind of makes sense in Endwalker because the hitboxes are so big. You generally can do everything in melee combo as it is right now, but they've been open about saying the reduction of the hitbox sizes. So having some sort of adjustment that reflects that, I think, is a logical next step for Red Mage. If they're going to go back the other way.
I think that can apply for like all ranged DPS as well. Like I think everyone has said things about, like, ranged hacks where, you know, you don't get to do as much damage as the melees because the melees have to be up close. Well, you know, me as, like, a caster being up close, I'm the same distance as the melee, and you're doing less damage, and usually, at least in my experience, like, casters have to work a lot harder for uptime in a lot of these fights compared to the melee DPS just because of the hitbox changes. So if they are actually going to make hitboxes smaller, obviously the melees will just get, like, harder because of that. But there are things that they could do for Red Mage to help with that. Like, I remember in, like, E5S, there was a big problem with, like, Red Mages going in for melee combos during Thunderstorm and hitting people with their AoE. So they could increase, like, the range of your melee combo in some way, so that you don't have to be, like, right up there on the boss, but they need to keep it, like, pretty close to some degree, so you have, like, the fantasy of going in and out. And the other thing I'd want them to do is bring back the increased potency for displacement over engagement, so that it would encourage Red Mages to actually, like, you know, backflip a bit more. Get up close.
Yeah, it would be encouraged, all right. Maybe just punished, just
gotta
too.
Just got to be careful not to go off the edge.
That's all they had to do before, also.
Some people got really good at it.
Yeah. Wait, really good at dying or really good at doing it correctly?
Both.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I love the newer Red Mage players that forget you can walk into the hitbox to backflip and not stand on the outside of the hitbox and backflip.
Yep.
I think Emerald Weapon was a big problem with that, if I remember correctly, because the first phase arena for Emerald Weapon is really small.
It was. Never mind.
Yeah, it was pretty small.
I remember, like, E6S people would backflip during, like, the Bacon Garuda phase and hit the wall, or E9S. I've seen someone try and do it during the tiles phase, and that was
why fun. Would they? Okay, if they do it there, they're trying to kill people if they're doing it there. That's got to be on purpose. Yeah. It's always great. Yeah. I will say this: there's definitely flavor for Red Mage when you look at the party list and there suddenly is zero, and you don't. There's no reason technically, but you know exactly what it was. Yeah. Zero HP. Oh my god, that's good. All right, so overall, Red Mage just fine-tune some of its ideals to match some changes and maybe readjust the res stuff.
And maybe adjust the multi-spells, the multi-target spells,
too.
Oh
god, yeah, I hate the way their AoE feels. So it's so unsatisfying. That's a big one, honestly. Isn't it 60 gauge to do 3 for the AoE combo for some fucking reason?
Yeah, with Moulinet, every 20, it needs 20 mana each time. I do think they're gonna change Moulinet too. I almost thought the Thorn thing was Moulinet.
I think they should just reduce the cost. Honestly.
Just do something. It's so lame.
And not only that, it's just like, you know, the 2 target and like 3 target feels so, I guess, imbalanced, I guess.
It's not a good job at 2 or 3 targets. It does not feel good to AoE at 2 or 3 targets. No. I just don't think Red Mage feels good to AoE on at all. It's so unsatisfying.
Pretty sure most of the time you're just, like, spamming, like, Jolt and Impact together if you're on a 2-target fight. And luckily they, you know, made your finishers cleave a bit, so, you know, you get a bit of help there in 2-target fights, which there aren't that many anymore, but when they are there, it does help. Especially in, like, you know, UCOB with ads phase, or, you know, Living Liquid and T.
I was going to say, DSR, you don't cleave during dragons, do you? Because it doesn't hit the middle of the room, it hits the middle of the hitbox, right?
I think your resolution can cleave.
Yeah, resolution does.
Or, like, eyes phase, but yeah, you can't really cleave anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't cleave the others, like Scorch or anything.
No.
Yeah. That's something, at least. It's better than nothing. Yes, Sly? What's on your mind?
Just random idea. What if they just removed Jolt?
Honestly, Jolt's so lame. I wouldn't even be mad if they just made it. I mean, really think about it.
What if we just got rid of it?
And you're just always doing like Verstone and Ripwire.
Yeah. And yeah, you just automatically do it. Like no need for the ready. You just do it.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Honestly, like the difference is like so small with like even the damage difference between like Jolt and for Fire and for Stone. Like they might as well just make you do that the whole time. Like if they did that, I wouldn't be opposed to it. If they didn't do that, I still wouldn't mind it. Like I don't mind doing the whole, you know, Verstone, Verfire ready thing because, you know, that's how they treat the whole, like, mana imbalance thing with, when you use Verholia and Verflare later, but, it would reduce a button.
Yeah.
Which, we kind of need going forwards with the jobs. They need to kind of consolidate some buttons so that, they can start adding new spells.
I'll take it even further. What if y'all just remove procs in general from Red Mage?
Oh my god. No.
I don't know about that.
I think Red Mage is one of the few proc jobs where the 50% doesn't feel bad. Like, it's not like Dancer's 50% on 50% on 50%. It's like, okay, I like your decision making is quick regardless. You get the whole GCD to see that it didn't happen and then just there's very logical endpoints on how to get back. Not to mention you can guarantee the ones you need at any given point.
I just feel like the procs are there just to be there. Honestly.
Kind of.
They just.
It feels good.
I feel like without it, it wouldn't take away anything. I mean, it doesn't like take anything away from the overall job and like, or and, like, I feel like it'd be more enjoyable.
Depends on what you put in its place. I don't think you could just take it away and make it better because you need something. Like you're essentially saying that you want to make the 2.5 second casts the standard and then use the double casts on the long ones because that's all that ends up happening casts. At that point.
Well, no. Change the cast to like 1.5.
Yeah. Okay. You said that for Jolt too. That's fine. You essentially want what's the procs now to be the standard. And the, I mean, you could, but like, I actually think that's one part of Red Mage that doesn't need changing at all. Personally.
Yeah. I personally enjoyed, you know, reacting to what procs you get. And, you know, there's something you just see the button light up that makes you happy and you press it. So I don't think they're going to take that away.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Red Mage players enjoy that too, to some degree. I have a lot of Dancer friends who get annoyed when they don't get fan dance procs, but I don't see a lot of Red Mages get angry when they don't get a proc because there's not a huge difference there.
Yeah. You could argue when there's not a huge difference. Yeah. That means also it's not really that integral. Like I get it. Like you could go either way, but at the same time, yeah, I've never heard a Red Mage complain about their procs. Maybe when it first came out, like maybe in Stormblood before they've had all the tools they had now. It would be a slightly more annoying, but even then it was still just like, oh, okay. It didn't happen. Move on, I guess. This is the end of it. All right. So that's job number one. Let's go to the job we're all less interested in second, in that of Summoner, which is only here because, it technically was one at some point.
So what's your favorite color crayon?
I'm colorblind. So
mine's red. Mine's red.
I like the yellow crayon, actually.
Yeah.
Must be nice to see those. Yeah. Must be great. Yeah, fantastic. I was just talking about crayons the other day, too. I was talking about how they had those fucking giant, like, 128 crayon boxes, and they'd name it all sorts of ridiculous shit. Like, there was a purple called Royal Mountain Majesty. I was like, what the fuck is Royal Mountain Majesty? What's Sierra? Just call it. Just why are there so many colors in here?
See, I equate this to like old school Kool-Aid because like everybody had their old, like everybody had their favorite flavor, but we would never say the actual flavor name. We wouldn't say fruit punch, tropical punch. No. What's your favorite flavor? Red.
Saw that one coming.
Favorite Gatorade flavor? It's blue.
Red.
Yeah. No, yeah. Gatorade, I remember doing it too. Yeah. Red, blue, green. No, actually, green people said lemon lime. For some reason, they broke character for green for lemon lime, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. So Summoner has been a hot topic all expansion.
Yeah.
it sounds like you're eager to discuss it then.
Well, okay. I remember as soon as the media tour stuff dropped in October of 2021, it's been so long. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure people started making like the Lego diagrams, like in the first hour. People realized that the job is not super complex. And I'm not going to say that that's like a bad thing. I think it's okay that there's a job that has like a very accessible base level gameplay. It's very easy to pick up and it's not super difficult to do like acceptable levels of damage with it and reach kind of a good ceiling. But they did remove a lot of things from the original Summoner that, well, when I say original Summoner, I mean the like,
yeah, which Shadow one?
End of Shadowbringer yeah. Summoner. That people really liked. Obviously, a lot of people missed the dots. Not really sure if those are going to come back with Pictomancer, but they missed having dots. They missed kind of the whole identity that Summoner had at that point. They obviously improved a lot of it at that point with, you know, there was jank with your pets where, you know, sometimes your pets would not auto-attack. If you like moved too much when you were, you know, using Bahamut and Phoenix, sometimes they just wouldn't do anything.
I fucking hated seeing Bahamut just like, hey, what's going on over here? Fucking floats on over.
But yeah, that's something that a lot of people missed at some point, like just the whole way that the job played. Cause this new Summoner is like completely different for the most part. Yeah. So when I was, my opinion of it really is they've made a foundation in Endwalker for what they want to do going forward. So I don't think it's like, I mean, they're not done with it. I don't think they're gonna like revert it to, you know, some kind of hybrid of the two. But it's got like such a simple like loop together that feels like, yeah, you know, with like Dawn Trail and even beyond, like they can't really change it too much besides like adding more Legos for you to use. You know, people are like, oh, I want to summon Shiva, I want to summon Leviathan, you know, instead of Garuda, Ifrit, and Titan, why don't I get the other three?
Exactly.
I think everyone's like, oh, I want Alexander level 100. Yeah, overall, like, I think Summoner is fine. Like, it's an accessible job. It's fairly simple to play. Like, it's got less complexities than the other two casters. But yeah, I do dislike probably the most thing. The thing I dislike the most is that it doesn't feel like you're casting a lot. You've got technically, like, four hard casts with, like, the Slipstream from Garuda and the two Ruby Rites, and then I'm not even going to count Ruin as a hard cast because it's such a short cast, it barely feels like one. But, like, you're more mobile than, like, okay, people have said Summoner casts more than Samurai, which is basically true. Or, sorry, Samurai casts more than Summoner.
Barely, but they do. They certainly do. Yeah. I've seen so many samurais, but I just need to cast Midoriya here. Why they gotta make me work for it? And Summoner's just like, wow, that sucks. Crazy. Time for me to use my Swift cast on one of my four spells and not have it for res.
I mean, honestly, I feel like we went from one extreme to another. And it kind of scares me. And the reason it scares me is because, like, I feel like they can only go back to the other extreme.
Oh,
and
no.
What I mean by that, like, yeah, it's like, okay, we had in the past, like, the 5-minute opener that you had to you know, graduated from MIT to even fucking understand. And then we have this. And I don't think there's any happy.
This is Community College Summoner.
I fucking hate you for that. and then I don't feel like there's a happy medium for it. I really don't feel like there's a happy medium in between there. And actually, you say accessibility, and accessibility is good, but you're talking to someone who plays Shin Megami Tensei, and I hate the word accessibility because, like, I always equate that with Persona, because Hashino has made every single Persona accessible to the point where it's just laughable, and that's exactly what happened to Summer. It's laughable.
Yeah. I think, yeah, comparing it to what we had before, like, it is like a slap in the face for Summoner mains, where people who are looking for complexity are not going to find it in Summoner, and they've got to look elsewhere, basically. I know a lot of people who, you know, were really, really good Summoner players and Shadowbringers, and most of them just started playing Black Mage instead, because they were trying to find that complexity that was gone. Now I agree with you that there is, like, they might have gone a bit too far with how easy they made it. I do hope that with the Dawn Trail changes, they're gonna add a bit more complexity. In terms of, like, you know, decision making, or maybe you've got more hard casts, or maybe there's just some new mechanic that they're gonna introduce that's not just gonna be a third Demi and then you're back to the same three primals over and over again. That would probably be the worst thing that they could do, because then there's just no real difference between what we got in Endwalker and what's going to come in the future.
It just feels like it. I feel like we're at a point where the job can't evolve. They can only really make it better right now. And it would be patchwork. So it's like you said, adding more summons would make it better, but it from its base form now, it wouldn't evolve as a job.
See, I think Summoner, they're going for the thematic choice over the gameplay oriented choice. Like, they clearly made that decision when they went into Endwalker, that they, like, oh, everyone says Summoner's not a Summoner, so here's a Tunnus, here's Bahamut, here's Garuda, here's Ifrit. Here's Phoenix. It's just like, there's all that stuff. And I feel like they just keep going down that road and they don't actually change the game. I'm not saying this is what they should do. I'm saying this is what I think they're going to do. They're going to keep it exactly the same overall interaction and just go for more flavor. Like, the only thing we see, and maybe you have a bit more to say about this, Exu, in the benchmark is what is clearly a thunder aspected spell. Now, that's a sting, because for those who don't remember, the first Heaven's Ward Summoner job quest is you attempting to assimilate Ramu and failing at
yep.
Like a giant slap in the face. And logically, it's like, I can't imagine them doing anything but something Ramu related if we're seeing thunder.
Makes sense.
Minimum.
You think that he would be like a level 100 summon, or do you think he would be just kind of like replacing one of the crystals that you've already got?
I think Bahamut will have his own set of crystals, and Phoenix will have his own set of crystals, and they'll all be different. And they're just going to increase the roster size, but the overall gameplay is going to be the same. Like, it'll still be like, I don't know, let's say, I'll just make something up for Ramu. Let's say that in Ramu phase, you drop down a lightning rod, and every Ramu ability you land, the lightning rod ticks and, like, shocks nearby enemies or something. I'm taking that right from 16, or they have to hit the lightning rod in 16. And then one of the abilities that you have in that phase is that it looked like Lightning Fester, to be honest, which was my concern, that it was maybe Ramu's changes the fest. Maybe that's the thing they do. Maybe they make Fester different depending on what summon you use it in. So you, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of reason. Maybe Fester resets. I don't know. But, like, that's it. And then, I don't know, Leviathans, it's like, just you slap them with waves. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to think what they would do for that. Like, and whatever they would do for, like, a Leviathan or Ramu, I hope it's not just, you know, two or four instant cast abilities and some sort of astral flow or whatever they call the extra ability that you can do on them. I do think for, like, thematic purposes, they probably are going to put a new demi summon at level 100. The problem is that, like, it has to be, like, on the same level as, like, Bahamut and Phoenix, I feel like, lore-wise, which everyone is thinking Alexander. Some people think Odin, but I think Alexander is one. I don't really know what that would look like, but all I know is that everyone's going to get hyped when we see it in the job trailer, and then people are going to play it and realize, wait, it's the same summoners.
Functionally the same, yeah.
Yep. You know, Happy?
Yeah.
A long time ago, I wouldn't say a long time ago, you asked me, should we, off topic, but you asked me, should we get a SMT collaboration? And I said no.
Yeah.
And I kind of changed my mind about it now because I feel like we should get it now because, like, think about it. Like, we have double summoners in SMT and we bring somebody over and I feel like it should just shit on Summoner. Yeah, I feel like it's just shit on Summoner. Like, wait. Oh, you can summon a Shiva? You can summon Odin?
I've got we can't God. Do that.
I've got God. We can't do that. I wish we could do that.
Fucking SMT. I can't believe you bring SMT into this. Not surprised in any capacity.
I would just wanted to just completely shit on Final Fantasy Summoner. It was like, yeah, he got this Devil Summoner who can summon anything he wants to. What do you got? We got three.
Only
maybe,
Sly.
Maybe five.
Only Sly would do
maybe
this.
Maybe five.
Only Sly would do this right now. It's the only one. Only person who would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the one thing they could take from, like, what we had in Shadowbringers was adding Enkindles to your summons again. Whether that's, like, you know, Ifrit gets, like, an Inferno ability, Titan gets, you know, I don't really know what Titan would be, to be honest, but they would get, like, something additional that you would do, maybe some really strong hard-casted spell that gives them some more things to do between their primal summons. I think that's definitely something they could look into exploring.
It'd be hilarious if they did that, but you had to use Enkindle before their animation for their attack finished, or it was just gone. Like, it has to be during, you know, whatever, Hellfire and all that for every single one. Like, with Ifrit, you press Enkindle, and then he, before leaving, he does a dash through them and then jumps from wherever he ends, so it becomes, he gets an extra line AoE on top of it. Or, yeah, then Titan could use a Mountain Buster. There you go. Yeah, they would just use their tank busters, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, you get Slipstream.
Well,
and Garuda.
Yeah, I guess we could use that. Garuda doesn't have the most impressive tank busters, I suppose. Downburst and Slipstream, which, you know, this is just a copy name. Yeah, I mean, that's something. I just think it's going to be exactly the same. I just think it's going to have more visual flavor, and that's largely it. And then, yeah, something like maybe the Enkindle or some other small gameplay oriented, but I think they want it to be the simple choice. I do genuinely think that you're right, that they want it. They recognize the same thing. It's like, it's good to have a simple choice, and this is going to be our simple choice. We'll just make it look really cool.
And I'm pretty sure, I think it was in PAX, they said that they're gonna, like, you know, expand on what they've already done. And it sounded like to me that a lot of the jobs are gonna play similarly. You know, maybe except, like, Astro and Dragoon, perhaps. But, like, it sounded like a lot of the jobs were gonna play similarly to what they had in Endwalker. They were just gonna add, like, a little extra to them to just, you know, because they have to. But it weren't going to, like, drastically change things from the way they were. So, yeah, I do agree with you that I don't think Summoner is going to magically become, like, super complex like some people want it to be. I do think it's going to stay like the easy caster to play, so to speak, and maybe just add a tiny bit more flavor to it to make it feel a bit less boring.
Okay. Quick side note on Summoner. Are you for keeping the Ifrit Dash or against it? A lot of Summoners, not a big fan of that Ifrit Dash.
I don't mind it. I kind of like it sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's nice in dungeons to catch up with the tank sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Although it's annoying that you can't use it. It's annoying you can't use it when you're rooted. I've been in situations, I think in like P10S where you're rooted from the Silk Spit and you can't use your Ifrit Dash. That's a bit annoying, but
yeah,
it doesn't happen too much.
Caloric be upon you. Just don't be any free during Caloric, of course. It's that simple. Yeah, also Rubicante, you can't use it. That's another one. We were talking about that with Dragoons, the fucking route that he does whenever he spins the arena. All right.
Yep.
Welcome to our world.
It's not quite your world. They do it once a minute, Sly. Your shit's all the time. Or, you know, was before they fixed that problem for you guys. All right. Well, good luck, Summoners. I guess I'll also add one last addendum since we're on the topic of Summoner. Are you ever... do you want a Dot Mage back at some point? Not just Summoner, but if they do something in the future, do you want the Dot job identity back in some capacity?
I don't think they should have a job that only does Dots, and like the majority of their damage is from Dots. And the only reason is because like it's just like visually not appealing, I don't think, when most of your damage is like hidden and you can't really see, like, visually how much damage you're doing. You don't see, like, the big numbers pop up if a lot of your stuff is from Dots. I want them to have, like, a Dot on new caster. Like, on Pictomancer, for example, I'd want it to have a Dot, but, like, I don't want it to be a Dot Mage. I don't want that to be, like, the focus. But if it had a Dot, I would be happy.
No, I'm
just
happy.
Something to, you know, keep up. Right, you're happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've already almost done it like 6 times this show, Sly. It goes immediately for the Mitchell. Immediately. I was an affliction lock that turned demo lock in WoW, so I always think back to my time as a Dot Mage, and I'm like, I can fix it. Just give me the thing. I'll fix it. I'll make Dot Mages work again. I'll figure it out. I promise. Anyway. 2 mages down. 2 to go. Only 2 to go. And next we have Black Mage. I don't think I've ever been more afraid. Like, you're afraid for a Dragoon, Sly. I'm afraid for Black Mage, man.
How so?
It's just like you said with Dragoon. It's perfect. What are they going to do?
But they're not getting a rework, are they? No.
Not that we know, but we didn't know about Summoner until it happened.
But clearly Dragoon was the only one clearly announced.
And
they
Astro.
Didn't say, we're reworking Black Mage.
Okay, but here's the thing, Sly.
You're probably getting extra butt.
Here's the thing, Sly. They said that they were reworking Dragoon for 6.1 along with Astro. And then said, never mind, we'll do it in 7.0. They haven't said anything since. All they did was clarify that they decided not to do those ones in 6.1. Not that they weren't doing any other ones.
I think you're worrying for
me. There are no unknowns and there are known unknowns. But there's also unknown unknowns. Things that we don't know that we don't know.
Stop it. Stop it. I honestly think you're worrying for no reason. I think Black Mages are fine. How do you feel, Exu?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to drastically change the job. Like, I wouldn't be afraid that there's going to be, like, a magic rework that's hidden and they're just not telling us about it. Really, all I think they're going to do is kind of add more quality of life and build on some of the older stuff we have. Every expansion Black Mage has gotten, like, pretty crazy quality of life buffs. Like, we got triple cast with Stormblood. You know, Shadowbringers gave you Xenoglossy, gave you Despair. Like, super useful tools to use. Gave you Umbral Soul, which was, like, amazing for downtime. Dungeons and ultimates. And then with Endwalker, they gave so much with two triple cast charges. They gave you Paradox, which is, like, super useful for movement in your ice phase. They gave you two charges of sharp cast. They gave you, made your procs longer. Like, they've just been making the job, like, more approachable and, I guess, easier to play compared to, like, past iterations. Like, I would say Black Mage is at, like, its most accessible level. Like, its current iteration in Endwalker. Like, compared to what it was like in Shadowbringers or Stormblood, like, it feels so much better to play now than it did a few years ago. But yeah, I don't think they're gonna, like, drastically change the way that the job plays.
I'm just worried. I'm worried. It's just, it's a job on the precipice. It's a delicate act.
Nope.
Like, I mean,
it's fine.
It is fine. That's the same concern you have for Dragoon. It's fine. Like, if I see it, I'll be relieved if I see a third polyglot. It'll be a fucking meme, but I'll be relieved if I see a third polyglot. Even if they add a skill that uses two of them.
You know, it's
going to
be more, okay. More than likely you, I say more than likely. Probably a third polyglot and then some. And then some is just a little bit extra flavor.
Here,
I don't think it's going to, like, rework the entire job.
Here's what would make me feel safe. A third polyglot.
Okay.
That you can use on three Xenoglossies for movement, or one ability that eats either two or three of them that you use when you don't need the movement. That'd be safe.
That's something that's a pretty safe guess as well. I think a lot of people are expecting that. With, you know, Gunbreaker went from two cartridges to three, and you got double down. Makes perfect sense that Black Mage gets some sort of super Xeno that.
Don't bring up double down around Gunbreakers. They don't want to hear it.
They hate it. I do think that's an interesting trade off that Black Mage would have to work with, like. Using a double spender, versus having, like, two instant casts of movement with two Xenoglossies instead. So it would provide some different decision making that you'd have to do. But, I think beyond, like, the level 100 spell that everyone is, expecting, and you kind of want to have, like, a flashy spell for level 100 to hook people. With the benchmark trailer, we of course saw what looks to be an upgrade to the Thunder Dot for Black Mage. Looks like it was the AoE version of Thunder based on the way the animation was. And looks similar to the Thunder from PvP, actually, in terms of cast it. So I think they're gonna do like what they did with Endwalker. I'm pretty sure that we're gonna get a trait. Just like another Thunder Mastery trait that will just change your Thunder. I think it's just going to change your single target and your AoE Thunder, and they're going to get upgraded to, like, new abilities.
High Thunder.
High Thunder 3, High Thunder 4. Like, yeah. That's probably going to happen. I'm pretty sure Thunder 4 just became a thing in, like, Stormblood. The upgrade from Thunder 2 to Thunder 4 happened in Stormblood, so... We're kind of due for a Thunder 3 upgrade as well, so I think that's like one of the, or I guess two of the new spells we're gonna get. It's just like a rehash of the old Thunder. Not sure if they're gonna add like any special effects to it, like in PvP, where you can get like a, I think you get a shield if you use Thunder. Don't think that's gonna be a thing on this one, but you know, they could surprise me. The other thing I've been thinking about is just in terms of ley lines, it's a problematic buff because it lasts for 30 seconds, with mechanics happening every 2 minutes. It's kind of difficult in some fights to keep ley lines uptime the whole time. in fact, like, there are certain mechanics where it's, like, literally impossible to stay in your ley lines the whole time. So you've got stuff like Pangenesis and P12S where, oh, sorry, you got to move for the towers. And also, by the way, there's a two-minute raid buff window happening here. So you kind of just have to either put your ley lines down and accept that you're only going to get, like, a little bit out of it, or just hold on to it for, like, an extra 40 seconds and potentially even lose a cast in the fight. So I do think they're going to add a button that will grab your ley lines and pull it towards you. And I think if they do something like that, I hope it's just like a one-time ability that you get to use like once every time you use your ley lines. That way you still have to kind of think about where you put it, and you can't like constantly adjust it to, you know, protect yourself from messing up. But it could still provide you with some more, like, casts in fights like that where it makes you leave it during buffs.
Xu, I'm going to agree with you wholeheartedly and say that, like, you know, casters in general, but more so Black Mage, is the one job that suffers more from fight design than anything. You get all these, and Happy, this is going back to your thing of identity.
Yeah.
Of job identity. And you get all these, like, so, like, casters in general get all these, you know, new tools that, you know, go against their identity of being casters. And, you know, you get all these, like Exo was saying, you get all these fights with, you know, mechanic vomit to where, you know, you're not really even a caster. And I feel like Black Mage suffers from that the most, in my opinion. Another thing I was really, really thinking about, if I wanted to add something to Black Mage, what if Black Mage got a kind of, it almost sounds like Monk, but what if they got like a passive that reduced their GCD?
Forced speed, Black Mage, let's go.
Yeah.
It's so funny because a lot of people think speed Black Mage is for comfort, and then they don't realize they're actually hindering their movement because the longer GCD during triple cast is really useful in a lot of fights.
Yeah, I would personally hate that if they did something like that. Yeah. I am very much a slow Black Mage player. I play usually like the slower GCDs, like 2.4, 2.42, things like that. And obviously you've got the opposite end where people can go really fast and play spell speed Black Mage where they're, like right now you can go as fast as like 2.13. But, you know, during the expansion you're usually at like 2.17 or something like that. But playing on a slow set gives you so much more options. First of all, you can just like, because your casts are longer, you have a bit more time just to like think about things, which I appreciate. Also helps when you're like streaming and you can read chat during your casts. But when you've got mechanics like Wrath Flames and DSR or Wave Cannon and Tops, where you have to move, you have to make several consecutive movements. Over a fixed period of time, and when your GCD is fast, it just makes it way harder to do that movement because you can move less distance for each instant cast that you do. So playing on a slow set gives you that, I guess that freedom of movement that, is appreciated in these fight designs, when they really just make you move for during a mechanic.
I mean, but what if you I mean, by itself, okay, there's the idea by itself, but what if you tie it to something like Enochian?
Enochian's nothing anymore. Enochian's just there all the time. It's like, I forget Black Mage even has
that's
it.
That's true, but what if you tie it to Enochian?
Well, then you'll always have it.
Yeah.
But that's what we're saying. We don't want it at all. That's the thing. It doesn't matter what you tie it to if we don't want it at all. Like, cause ley lines is your limited time spell speed option for really pumping, which is why ley lines ends up being kind of the crux of the issue, which is another reason why one suggestion that floats around is popular for people who like spell speed black mage, but isn't popular for unspell speed black mage. And that's for the ley lines to follow you. Because if your ley lines are following, you're doing your 2 minutes. Like, meaning it's wrapped around your waist, you're fucking your mobility in the middle of your 2 minute window because you're just cranking your spell speed all the way up.
I don't like that as an idea. I think it just, I think it adds too much, well, it dumbs it down, I think, a bit too much, where there is a skill involved in, like, using your ley lines in the right spot. If it just, like, followed you wherever you went, and there was no, like, repercussion for that, I personally wouldn't like that. I mean, sure, it would feel nice when you're playing because you don't have to think too much and you can be a bit more creative with what you do, but you kind of remove some decision-making there. You lose skill expression, basically. Like, there's like, these sweet spots where you can, you know, put your ley lines in this part of the arena during, like, P4S Act 4 and dodge all of the explosions around the arena, or, you know, you can put your ley lines in this spot during double rush and P5S and just barely dodge the poison puddles, and things like that feel good to execute. Mm-hmm. If your ley lines was following you the whole time, it would just kind of feel a bit boring, I think. Personally would not be a fan of that.
And fuck your mobility for all the reasons said before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. Black Mage is such a delicate place that a lot of these ideas that are swinging around, some of them, even just the random ideas, like not even just changing the way the job plays, random things like this impact the job to such a huge degree. Every single thing that's ever happened to Black Mage has had a massive impact on it, even without changing very much about the job. Like, since forever. Like, when they added level 60 Black Mage and we got what is essentially the current model with Enochian in the first place, and you had to do the whole Blizzard 4 to keep Enochian up, and it would go down 30 seconds, 25, and the idea was to try to keep it all the way until, and you were fucked if you screwed that up, and then they changed that, but then they added needing to manage the polyglot stacks, but you still had movement issues, so you had, like, a little bit better movement, but then the fights were designed to be more chaos. It's like, there's always been this, like, incredibly delicate balancing act. This is why I'm concerned.
Yeah, when they added Paradox and Endwalker, like, when we originally saw it in the media tour build, it was like, wow, this is like a really good spell. It's, you know, another freebie that you can use in your ice phase. A lot of people, you know, when I'm talking to, I guess, higher end Black Mage players, we start to, you know, hit the sheets, so to speak, and figure out, you know, what are the optimal things we can do with this new spell now. And the fact that they made it instant cast in the actual build opened a lot of possibilities in terms of, you know, you have movement options that you didn't have before, and then people started realizing, hey, you know, we can use transpose so much during combat and have paradoxes on demand and then have more movement, do more optimal things. I think that's a big thing that a lot of Black Mage players like doing is, you know, trying to optimize a little bit, outside of kind of the standard stuff that they want you to do. Like, you know, okay, you cast Blizzard 3 to get your mana back, you cast Blizzard 4 to get your hearts, and then, you know, you use Paradox and get into your Fire phase and start doing your Fire 4 and Paradox and Fire 4s and Despair. One thing that I would say a lot of higher-end Black Mage players like is that you don't have to do that all the time, even though you can. There's a lot of flexibility in terms of, hey, you can use transpose after your despair and an instant cast and do like a, use your Firestarter proc to transpose back into fire and do this instead. And Yoshi-P himself said, like, hey, we made the proc 30 seconds longer because we thought someone would do something like this. So, I really enjoy that the job has this flexibility. That, in terms of the job design, that's actually the one thing I'm worried about the most, is how does that change in 7.0? Because basically for like two expansions now, there's been like this alternative way to play Black Mage using transpose a lot in combat, which is like a few percentage points better in terms of damage output than like just playing the job normally, where every expansion they've kind of made the gap between playing the job normally and doing this optimization stuff a little bit lower. So the gap is evening, basically. But I'm more worried about like how they treat that playstyle going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think they want to avoid something like Paradox Mage again. But Yoshida himself does seem to enjoy these aspects about it when, you know, everyone's always making the joke, of course Black Mage gets all this. Yoshida plays that job. He always seems to be
a pretty... Yoshida shield.
Yeah.
Paradox Mage was such a meme, though. It wasn't, yeah. Like, the thing is, it went viral at the start of Endwalker, but it wasn't even that good. It was just kind of there for... it was just there to show people, like, hey, there's this funny thing you can do on this job.
It kind of reminds me of original Monk back in A Realm Reborn. So a lot of people may not know this. The way the jobs, way positionals were balanced in A Realm Reborn, it was essentially the same to just do only your flank rotation over and over again. And then you also had, what, Dragon Kick Monk happened at one point too? Yeah, and then there was Dragon Kick Monk, which wasn't that long ago. So it's just like, hey, look what you can do. And it's like literally the same. It's like almost the same thing. And it's like, fucking Christ. Kill me. Just kill me. The idea, because then you know somebody's showing up to your fucking extreme trial and they're like, perfect. Ugh. And I saw it with Paradox Mages. I saw Paradox Mages in my extreme trials in PF. Unironically.
I don't think I've seen a single one.
Yeah. It's not great. They were so focused on the meme, they would die. Is the hilarious thing. They'd be so proud of themselves for doing it, they just fucking die instead. God damn it. Yeah, I'm worried. That's it. I'm just worried for the job, because it's just anything could go wrong at any point. It's been so good for so long. I wonder when the tipping point is.
So the other random idea I had for the job is like with the job gauge. You've had
gauge is so ugly.
Do you use the simple gauge or the
No, I
the
don't.
One?
I use the normal one. I don't like the simple gauges. The normal one's fucking atrocious looking.
So I think a lot of people say that the simple one is better, but like the normal one gives you like little ticks and increments of like 5 seconds, so you can actually like tell when your stuff is coming up. But one thing I think would be an interesting thing for them to do is add like some sort of focus a lot on like the Black Mages, you know, a damage dealing class, and give it some sort of, if they really want to like lean into giving people stuff on 2 minutes, they can give Black Mage a 2 minute self buff that enables you to use like Astral Fire 4, gives you more boost to your fire spells. I think that'll be cool because we haven't had any change to the way that gauge system works in several expansions now. Like they added hearts, I guess back in like Heavensward, right? They added hearts a long time ago, and then we've got Paradox.
Hearts was more recent. They added Blizzard 4, but that was just for Enochian. Hearts was a Stormblood, if I recall. Is that Stormblood or Shadowbringers? So,
they added the hearts, they added Paradox, but like we've had Astral Fire 3 and Umbralize 3 for forever, pretty much. So I do think they could, you know, level 100, it's special. They could do something like that if they weren't going down the Super Xeno route.
Yeah, they have options. I think even with as full as the job is, the good news is they do still have options. It's just every option is, you know, just please, seesaw. Don't fall off the seesaw. That's all I'm asking. Because the job is so, so good. I promise everyone here, after you get over the headache of learning it in individual fights, you will not want to play anything else in a lot of those fights.
It's super rewarding to like just the satisfaction you get when you can like maintain your uptime during complicated mechanics and, you know, not drop Enochian every time Like, just being able to execute mechanics cleanly, it feels like the best on Black Mage compared to, you know, if you're just playing like Summoner, it's just like you're just kind of doing the mechanic anyways. But
yeah,
when you're playing Black Mage, you've actually got to play your job and do the fight at the same time.
Yeah, Summoner, you're never playing a job. You're just there. You showed up to work just to collect your benefits, and you sleep under your desk pretty much the whole time.
Well, it's nice in Prague. You can just kind of stand there and observe and not have to focus too much.
And read chat. All right. I think that covers the three things that we know about. But we have divisive point number four, our new addition coming up, and that of Pictomancer. So before we talk about any speculation about the job, a lot of people were torn on the visuals alone for Pictomancer. Actually, where were you on the more playful, artsy style of the job in the first place?
Honestly, I didn't really think the visuals were that bad. I mean, they don't look like other visuals in the game, but like, it doesn't bother me that it looks the way it does. Personally, I don't like look too much into how the visuals of my casts are, and if I have like Pictomancers on my team and I'm not the Pictomancer, like I already have people's effects off, so I'm not gonna see it. Mm-hmm. I've actually heard a lot of people more talking a bit about like the sound effects that happen like when you're casting. People not being fans of like the little noises that are being made when you cast. But honestly, I don't mind it. Guess we'll see, like, if what it actually looks like. Like, is it different than what we saw in the initial job, like, reveal teaser in January?
Sly, you look like you had a thought.
No, I disagree to a point. Like, I feel like with Pictomancer, the whole thing is the visuals. Like, you're this artist who supposedly, you know, should be able to, you know, do these works of art mid battle and whatnot. And you're pretty much drawing Henry Stickmin.
That Moogle looks pretty good. Come on, it's not a stick figure Moogle.
Moogle's HD.
True. I mean, but it just looks so, I don't know, it looks a little bit lo-fi to me. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, more, you're concerned more about, like, you know, the actual, you know, oomph of the job and what it can do and, you know, the damage and everything. And that concerns me too. A little bit. But yeah, we're talking about this quote unquote artist job that's coming in a expansion
with a graphics update.
A graphics update, right? Right. So you kind of want its effects to look good.
I think its effects do look good. That's all I'm saying. I like that it essentially looks like someone's drawing a spell. Because what if they fucking draw the spell? It just looks exactly like the other spell. Like, it's literally painted fire and, like, painted ice and shit. Like, if it just looks like Blizzard 4, well, then what the... who cares? This is Blizzard 4, then. Yeah, they're just quick... They're sketching in, like, 2 seconds.
You can't draw a masterpiece that fast.
That's why the other spell, this, like, the Moogle, looks better.
This is a world of fantasy. That's all I'm saying. This is a world of fantasy where we expect shit to happen fast with our artists and everything, and then we can create masterpieces of food within like a minute. So, like, I mean, again, it's fantastic.
It's not 2.5 seconds, Sly. It's not their GCD time. And look, some of their spells do look like masterpieces, just not the like fire, ice, lightning, earth spells that we saw. That's it. I'm a fan. I like that it stands out. That it looks like, oh, that's a Picto spell. It's very obvious.
Yeah. I don't mind it at all, and I think if people don't like it, they can turn off the effects and they don't have to see it.
Yeah. Now, the job itself, we don't have a whole lot of information on, but we know a few basic things. We already touched on one. We know it doesn't have a combat res, which is already kind of a divisive point, and it's why we brought it up earlier, because people are already basically saying that, like Black Mage, no one's going to take it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're staying on the same path where Red Mage and Summoner keep their combat res, and then we've got two res casters and two regular casters without a res, I do think, like, in terms of, like, a hardcore, like, week one progression people, like, they weren't going to take Black Mage anyways, pretty much, so they're not going to take Pictomancer unless it's, like, actually busted.
Good.
And at that point, they're just going to replace a melee with it. And they're still going to take a Red Mage or a Summoner for res capabilities.
Oh,
so if you're in, like, one of those hardcore groups, like, yeah, you're probably not going to play it. But, like, if you're just, like, a normal static and you're just, you know, progging fights, like, it doesn't really matter if you don't have a combat resurrection or not. In terms of the Party Finder, though, people have very different kind of opinions of
just
the jobs.
People are stupid. Just go ahead and fucking say it.
First of all, people are stupid. And
thank you.
Second of all, people just want to get their fight done and get out of there. And
thank you.
I think a lot of people are just like, you know what? I don't care that Black Mage does 1,000 more DPS than a Red Mage. Like, I want to save, like, 20 minutes of time potentially and have this Red Mage in my party just in case both of my healers die. I think it's a little sad that happens, you know, when I'm trying to PF as Black Mage and parties lock me out, but, you know, I just find a different party because it doesn't happen that often, I don't think. But that's why people do it, is because they just want to get their clear done, and they see that as the potential, that it's the scenario that offers, like, the most safety, basically, for them.
I honestly think we need to get rid of the 5%. I think it needs to go. Meaning you get 1% bonus damage per roll. Because I think this whole exact, like, as a fizz range, I shouldn't want to get rid of it. Because I'm at the fucking chopping block here.
Okay.
But I just look at it as a bigger part of the problem.
Any example where it has worked to your advantage? I mean, of course there's going to be lots of...
And people actually invite me because I'm fizz ranged. That's my advantage. If it goes away, I'm very worried if they don't change fizz ranged at all. But I'd rather they just take the time to, like, make every job a bit more desirable on average so we're not stuck at double melee. And I'll take anything I can to get that. Because, like, that's... It's crazy to me that, like, casters are
so screwed.
So
you want
so
triple caster?
I just want to have an option. Like, it just shouldn't fucking matter what you have DPS. Like, that the problem
Yoshi
is they designed
P
it
says,
so that it does
no,
matter.
Uncle Yoshi P says you can clear with anything.
You can. But that's who cares what he says when everyone else doesn't let you fucking join the party.
Again, and going back to what I originally said, PF is fucking stupid. Why do you think I don't do it anymore?
I'm just saying, like, here's the thing. Double melee is nice. No one's going to go triple melee unless they have to because it sucks for, like, 90% of fights.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah. If you get rid of the 5%, you, A, have to make fizz range more desirable by default. So fizz range will feel better to play because even if you want to make it 4% where it's, like, ranged and melee, right? So, like, the casters and the ranged fill in one entire category and it's just 4%. The fizz range will feel better about playing their jobs because they'll have to bring them up to speed a little bit more. And you won't feel that bad about not taking either a caster or a fizz range. And you just kind of take whatever the fuck you actually want. You can run the double caster if you want. You can run double fizz ranged if you want. I'm just sick of this fucking double melee shit. Even when double caster was great, then top happened and people were like, well, never doing that again. Top really
See,
fucks double caster from ever happening.
The only issue you run into that with is you kind of have to get rid of the tax.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do it. Do it and get rid of the 5%. Like, here's the thing. I'm still definitely concerned about top style situations where double caster ended up being a really bad thing to be when people were still progging it. But even still.
No. You would have to get rid of the range tax.
Oh, I know. Get rid of it. We've been saying it for years anyway. Even if they lower the size of the hitbox, it's still a significant difference. If they listen, they can make the hitbox smaller and design the mechanics around the smaller hitbox, and you have the same fucking problem.
We went over this last week. Make the hitbox smaller. Give, you know, jobs their identity to where we can actually, you know, still fucking hit.
Listen, you're just worried about you. I'm worried about the rest of the game. Stop this. Don't make this about you.
I'm worried about the rest too. I mean, is it wrong to have self-preservation?
It's not a melee show anymore, Sly. This isn't about you.
I'm just saying, yes, do all that shit, but still take care of me too. But do all the shit you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Making this all about you.
No, I personally like the 5%. I like having the one of each role. It feels like more complete as a party. I don't know. It just feel weird if you're running a comp and it had like, you know, one melee and three casters. It just doesn't feel.
Right. Yes, it does fucking feel weird, but I have to get fucking used to it like so many times in the past. It's fine. I've grown to it. Like, I'm okay with it as a melee. Like, I have to get used to it.
I just want to eliminate this issue of people not bringing Black Mage and Picto because it's one fucking spot. There's six fucking melee. Like, I get why they have two spots, because there's six of them, but there's eight range. Just some of them are physical, some of them are magical.
When it comes down to that LB, who are you relying on it for?
Healer.
That is the right answer, and I love you for that. I love you for that.
You want to know what's funny? You said that, and I was when we were talking about getting rid of the res, I was like, I wonder if people would prog with three healers just to make up the res slot if they got rid of caster res. Like, then after they've cleared the fight, the fucking caster runs like sage until they reach enrage, and then they swap to the fucking actual caster. That'd be some toxic shit right there, and I wouldn't even be surprised.
This is why we brought Exit on the show. Exit with the fucking base dancers. I love it. I fucking love it.
Fucking healers. God.
I think, besides like, we're talking about like people locking, Black Mage and Picto out of PF. I think what I see the most is just like the double melee lock, which I guess people have educated, everyone else on like what the 5% means, you know. I think, like, you get people like Zenosis, who makes these videos every expansion, talking about this is how you're supposed to set up your Party Finder listing. And people still lock, like, you have to intentionally go in there and lock it to double melee. By default, I'm pretty sure it just puts everything for every role. Mm-hmm. So I still see people, even in, like, well, it's like fresh prog for P9S, also were locking it to double melee. And I was like, okay, I wanted to play, you know, a second caster there to help you out, but I guess I can't. And I think some people just don't know any better that a caster or like physical range DPS can even like do that, that role. Some people are like, oh, well, I don't want to deal with a caster player or a range player who can't do the melee spots. And then I'm like, okay, well, just kick them. Yeah. If they can't do the spot and find someone who can.
You've been saying what I've been, like, echoing so many years now, like, the mass majority of you know, hardcore in-game raiders kind of dictate the meta. And we kind of suffer for it because, you know, that's the voice that EOCP will mostly hear because it's the loudest voice. Like, the raiders are the hardcore raiders are the loudest voice in this community. So whatever happens is dictated by them. We're at the mercy of it.
I feel like that's true in most cases, except for us trying to tell people they don't need to lock double melee and fucking savage PF and PF in general, to be honest. Like, It's crazy how much people like refuse it. An easy fight. It's like the people who like week two locked like 10 item levels above the fucking fight for like P9 and shit. And I'm like, oh yeah, let me try healer this week in PF. And like, stop right there. You violated the law. And I'm just like, bro, it's fucking P9S.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's worse? Yeah. Item level locking the first fight to 10 item levels above it or locking double melee?
Yes.
Fair.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, like, both are equally fucking bad.
Yeah, I think Pictomancer, I would not be surprised if people lock it out. Either it's kind of like when like people just want to like lock it out, so they don't want to have like a person first trying it in their raid or whatever. But I think you will see a decent amount of it happening. But I honestly think a lot of people just don't care, and they'll just set up their PF listing with the default settings.
Mm-hmm. I honestly think, and just now thinking about it, I honestly think this is a non-issue. Because new job, the job's going to be broken in the wrong way, first and foremost.
What does that mean?
Some secret intel?
No,
it's like Reaper wasn't broken. People were just not playing the other jobs. Like, everyone likes to think Reaper was busted on release.
As a DPS, Reaper is like one of the exceptions to the rule. But in the past, when has the job come out?
Samurai got fucking locked across the board. I literally saw people, I'd be like, why is Samurai locked? They're like, I don't want these fucking weebs joining my party because they thought Samurai looked cool. I saw it nonstop.
You act like every job has been perfect. Every quote unquote new job has been perfect at its iteration. Not every job has been perfect at its iteration. There is a good chance that this job will be, you know, could possibly be broken. It could possibly be broken in the wrong way.
They do job changes in the first 4 weeks. They always give job changes in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, they'll fix it if it's too weird.
But remember the bitching it took? The perfect example is like fucking Ashra. And I know we're talking about healers, but still. One of the perfect examples for this. And I remember the fucking tirade Arthur's went on fucking Astro when it came out.
Astro, but here's the thing. All the Heavensward jobs were perceived as dog shit upon release. Dark Knight was fine, but all the new players are picking up a tank at level 30 and eating dicks nonstop in Braiflock's Longstop.
Machinist was trash on release too. Thank you, Blue.
And Astro took, and then Astro, they overcorrected and it was OP by the time they got to 0.4, but it was fucking blasted for like the first however long. Then you go to Stormblood, Red Mage. Nobody gave a shit how it played because it could res nonstop. So there you go. That began right away.
Yeah.
Even though it was not very good, and the Samurai got hard locked out of everything. Shadowbringers was probably the start of it. But they've never been they've only ever been busted in the bad way and never been busted in the good way, or at least not initially. Right. It's always been perceived wrong because everyone's playing it in the first month. Then it levels out, and sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. Like, I remember Gunbreakers being generally cracked, but it was more so cracked like when people started doing UCOB and shit, like going back down to 70. And it was just like, I don't know. I don't think that has a factor of it at all. I think it's just people are going to lock pick down.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. So you have to like consider it you have to consider that maybe like in the beginning, it's probably, it can, you know, be complete shit and you kind of have to rethink it. And like you said, the devs will eventually.
Within the first month,
there's always
that
possibility.
In the first month, always. They don't always get everything in the first month. Looking at you, Machinist Hypercharge. But, you know, they usually, the core aspects of it are normally fine. Now, I have a question about Picto gameplay wise. I think we're still Viper people feel like they have a better grasp of how it'll actually play. I haven't seen anyone who feels like they have a good grasp of how they even think Picto will play. Where are you at on that, Exu?
I think it will have something to do with the whole, like, elemental wheel, thing that you've got in the lore. It's just like a crackpot theory, but like, in the, I think it's gonna be similar to, like, Monk in that you collect, like, stickers, I guess. And I think you would use, like, okay, like, your fire and lightning would be, like, astral stuff. Your ice would be, like, umbral. And I think you would just, like, combine, or, like, depending on, like, which three spells you used, it would unlock, like, a new one that you would use. My only justification for this is, like, I guess the teaser, they used fire and lightning, which I believe are astral elements, and then they used earth, which I believe is closer to umbral. And then they did some weird, like, painty thing, which I'm not really sure what that was. But then they did the ice and then the Moogle effect afterwards. So I'm pretty sure, like, you do three spells, which unlocks another one, and then which unlocks some sort of monster, draw the monster. Which we've only seen the Moogle for some reason. Like, three times.
Random thought, like, quick random thought. Like, what if in the future the Pictomancer LB is Shatternode?
No. How about that? No.
I'm actually curious what its LB is going to look like.
Right.
They're going to paint a shitty-looking painting. No, they're going to paint a shitty-looking meteor. I'm telling you right now. They're going to open. There's going to be a giant canvas in the sky. They're going to swish the paintbrush. It's going to turn into a meteor, and it's going to be a pictographic, like, Dalamud or some shit. Yeah. I like somebody said they're gonna paint a like a fat chocobo or something. I was like, okay.
Oh my god. I think Chatterduck would be badass though. I think it would.
Let's be real, the Spriggan is probably the answer.
I think the Spriggan is just another one of the summons like the Moogle. I mean, you probably just have a few different options to pick from. I'm actually curious I'm wondering why they haven't even like told us a little bit about what it seems like. I guess, like, with Viper, we know that they can, like, switch between, like, one-handed, like, combine their blades together and then the other stance, and you kind of can picture an idea of what it plays like from there. But, yeah, with Pictomancer, we literally don't know anything besides what they showed in the trailer, and that it has some sort of buff. So it's not, like, purely selfish. Yeah. What kind of buff that is, we have not been told.
I'm in a similar vein to you, but I don't think it'll be like perfect balance. I think it'll just be as they paint, they collect colors, and then they want to have three set colors by the time their canvas rolls around. And then they'll probably paint the canvas every like 20, 30 seconds to like alternate through.
Do you think as this job evolves, we get more colors?
Do you mean, and do you already think about 8.0? Like, fucking tell, Sly.
It's a question. I'm sorry. I remember that you're colorblind, yes, but do you think that we get more colors as the job evolves?
Yeah, they're just gonna give us like a slider, you know? RGB. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say how the job goes forwards without even knowing how it plays now. So.
Right.
Yeah, I just think they are gonna have six different filler spells, and the filler spells you're gonna just use to make paints. Like, I think that's gonna be the only difference between all of their different, like the fire and the ice. I think they're just colors for the canvas and nothing more.
Like, I think about it like in terms of like astral umbral.
I mean, yeah, maybe they could have, I would almost rather they do like three different, like, I feel like three is the magic number, three stickers, three mudra, like whatever, three is the magic number, you know? And so I almost would rather they break them into sets of two, like fire and ice is one, or thunder and earth is one, and water and wind is one or something like that. And then it's just, you select the colors that go in those specific slots, and then you paint stuff with two colors or three colors minimum or something like that.
See, if they stick to three, then they run the risk of turning into, you know, Bob Summoner.
That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'm saying that you'll be painting on the canvas very frequently, probably. It's probably not, like, there's probably, like, some sort of big buff that's relevant to your canvas, but I have a feeling the canvas painting is not going to be once a minute or anything like that. It'll probably be something closer to your mudras, which are every, like, 20 seconds or so. We also know that the canvas painting skill has a really long cast.
I think, yeah, it was a decently long animation in the trailer. But I guess we don't really know what that does. That unlocks something, I guess. Speaking of casts, they did say that Pictomancer has long... they said it has some long casts, I'm pretty sure. And it's got some instant casts, too. So, really, I'm thinking it's going to be, like, higher skill ceiling than Summoner.
Of course.
Easier to play than Black Mage, probably. Kind of in that zone of difficulty. I just want it to have more hard casts and not, like, just have, like, full instant cast rotations. I mean, just based on, like, what we can see, like, it sounds like they were hard casting, like, the fire, lightning, and ice and earth stuff, so I imagine that they've got some hard casts or maybe short casts to set up what they want to do, and then probably get to summon, like, the monsters and stuff with more instant casts. I just hope it's, like, fun to play. I would not want it to be a second Summoner where once you figure out how to play it, it's, like, really boring.
I don't think it'll be quite like that, but you're right. I don't think it'll be as engaging as Black Mage. But we'll know for certain in a couple of weeks. Anything else we want to touch upon with Picto?
Not much, honestly. It's hard to talk too much about it without knowing what else they're going to do.
Yeah.
That's fine. Right. Just want to figure I'd open the floor for a second in case there was a stray thought here or there.
Actually, there's one cool idea they could do for Pictomancer. If they really want to, you know, draw things, they could draw a circle on the floor that makes everyone cast faster.
The joke is that it's ley lines. But for everyone.
They could also draw a clone of a party member, you know? Have like a living shadow on demand. Like another three? Yeah. Why can't we have something like that? That could be a cool thing.
Draw a clone. Because, you know, I'm already afraid, even though Frey and the Queen don't look anything like players, I still think somebody's going to die to a mechanic at the time.
It scares the shit out of me every time, too.
Now let's draw an actual party member, and then when they... Oh, shit, okay, it's just a clone. All right, thank Christ. Whew. I go do
mechanics and I'm like, why is somebody there? It's Frey.
Yeah, try, just be like this. Just draw me like one of your French Al Ross. There you go. Yeah, it's dude. That shit haunts me. I get afraid when a ninja's dodging out of an AoE and they have Bunshin up because it leaves the little like the clone behind for a second. I'm like, no. Oh, never mind. They're good. That'd be so funny.
Like, wait, somebody's in my spot. Oh, it's Frey.
It's just, I just imagine like a shitty drawn Frey now just popping up. Just like, you know that, you know, like the, like a Doodle Bob aesthetic version of Frey? Yes,
exactly.
Doodle Frey. Froy. There you go. Perfect. Oh, yeah. I guess I don't know. It was just something rebirth related. Yeah, that's fine. I'll leave that out. Yeah.
Oh, weak. God.
Yeah, there you go. Fucking Froy. Ugh.
Froy.
Love that. All right. Yeah. That covers all the casters then. I mean, obviously we know in terms of side content, Blue Mage is getting another update, but they're not a real caster. We don't count them. They're not a real job. So.
Unfortunately, yeah.
No.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Oh, I mean, like, unfortunately, they weren't created as a real job.
I'd say fortunately.
Job, yeah, it's the same old our job fantasy versus that. Listen, I'll tell you what, if Blue Mage was a real job, you wouldn't be getting Picto right now. We'd be getting a Fizz Ranged. So, which yeah. I'm sure some people would be okay with, but still.
So people are going to say, unfortunately, Beastmaster's not a real job when it comes out. Because, you know, everybody wants fucking Beastmaster as a real job.
I want a shiny. I want a shiny.
What I want is a Blue Woo and Blue Cub.
Yeah, Blue. Yeah, see, we've had this. This had Blue Cob and Blue Woo.
Yeah. Blue Cob discussion's been a thing for a while, yeah.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, we don't want to diminish the achievement of the Ultimate Raiders. Ultimate Raiders be like, what the fuck?
They could just make a different achievement.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. Just disable the normal one if you have Blue Mages. Or like, add it to the Blue Mage, like, to the mask card. I don't know. Add it somewhere to, like, another finder or something. The Blue Legend. Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, after dying deliberately 111 times, you know, I'm so worried about the integrity of the UCOB clears at this point. After beating it with, somebody's beat it with no tanks and beat it while it's enraged, I'm so worried about my integrity, the integrity of my clear. God damn it. Anyway, yeah. I think that covers everything we need to about the casters. I think all of our speculation is good. Now we only have less than a 2-week wait. I mean, it's on a Thursday, so yeah, only 13 days now from the recording of this, and we'll have at least some answers. Obviously, we'll have to see what comes out of whatever reports on Mediator as well. In the past, that's been pretty extensive in terms of things that we've learned. So it's just a waiting game at this point. Not long, though. Only like 7-8 weeks-ish till the expansion. It's very close.
Yeah, time's been passing by really fast.
Yeah.
These 8 billion other games that have been releasing.
A lot to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Time goes real slow in Eureka right now, I'll tell you that, though.
Oh, God.
4,200 Hydatos crystals won't farm themselves.
Oh, my God.
Listen, it's not my fault they made it so annoying to get Hydatos crystals. I didn't do that.
It's your fault for fucking doing it.
It's my fault for doing it, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, we can start getting ready to sign out here. Yeah, just under the two-hour mark. Perfect. We did it.
Perfect.
We went a little over last week, so we're a little under this week. It works out. It's balanced.
Even it out.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for taking the time. Thank you for taking the time to join us for the show, Exu, for your caster knowledge and expertise.
Yeah, it was a great time being on the show. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell everyone what your schedule is, where they can find you at, what you're working on right now? You can mention.
Yes. You can find me. I think my Twitter is on the stream, but you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/explosion. Right now, I'm streaming mainly on the weekends, but I'll probably try and do some more weekday streams, like in the evening Eastern time. Play a lot of Party Finder, Black Mage, and Savage and Ultimate. A lot of fun getting to know all the funny PF strats. Also, if you want to watch me fish, I do that too sometimes. Also, shout out to my static sleepo cat.
Thanks for getting the P7 arena changed.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, that sleepo cat, everyone. If you didn't know, that sleepo cat. We appreciate them. We appreciate quality of life. Yeah, and thank you again for joining us. We appreciate you and your...
Yes.
Why is it that funny? Just like, that's the one thing. Everyone's like, sleep okay? Yeah. Yeah. Tree.
Yeah.
The saviors of P7SPF. It's saviors for clearing. Everyone's like, wow, this fight's pretty fun when this mechanic happens. Sleepo catch strat comes out. Well, at least it's easier now, but it's so much less fun.
We did the strat, but I don't know the guy who did the markers. We just made the strat.
Yeah, no, that's it. Actually, yeah, I wonder who did make the markers. Not that it matters anymore, because they're probably banned. But thank you for their sacrifice.
Yep.
Get your free grand slam at Denny's.
All right. Sly, what you got going on? What you working on? You know the drill at this point.
You can find me at twitch.tv/Sly, aka Gray Fox, Twitter at Sly, aka Gray Fox. What's going on? Tomorrow is First Saturday for WSOY. We are doing the Shirogane Derby. It's gonna be a fun time. It's gonna be a really fun time. There'll be music. There'll be horse and chocobo racing that you can bet on. It's gonna be fun. We still need jockeys for both races. So if you want to sign up, let me give you the link. Yeah, the races are tomorrow. Again, Shirogane Derby, because tomorrow's the Kentucky Derby. But other than that, still enjoying the fuck out of, DQ11, the game that never ends. And kind of just killing time until read-only memories, which will probably be next week. I'll probably break from DQ11 to do read-only memories next week because read-only memories Neurodiver is coming out. And then after that, I'm just waiting on fucking SMT5 Vengeance, which, again, we're giving away a copy every $100 tip. So we've given away 5 copies so far. We might give away more. It might happen today. If you want a copy of SMT5 Vengeance, come to stream today. After this, it might happen. Who knows? Happy?
You can find me, Mr. Happy, 127, all the usual things. Been taking a chilling a little bit on YouTube as of late, just because we already know Dawn Trail is going to be a busy time. So just been largely reporting on news and focusing on stream. But speaking of focusing on stream, it's fair to say that quite a few people in the Final Fantasy 14 community are of the Limsa variety. You've seen some of the shout chats that go on in there. So I've seen some things, I've definitely witnessed it, and there's probably plenty of moments where you've been in a stream and you wonder, are they really saying that while they're live? They know they're live, right? What'd you say that for? Have you ever imagined that in podcast format? Because that's essentially what I'm doing tonight. With a very big inside joke that has now become a show that's going to be bridging the gap between real life experiences and gaming. I'm doing a show with Syra tonight, and she had this to say on Twitter. And this will give you an idea for the show. I didn't expect to see this tweet. I'm going to give him a boner in the first 5 minutes, was her description of the show tonight. So that's the kind of mentality we're going with on this show. So I guess I'm bringing a plus one, and it's me. So if you enjoy that kind of energy for a show, that's the kind of chaos that's happening tonight.
Fuck them up, Sarah.
That sounds like content.
Yeah, that's content. That's content, all right. I'm gonna have to stand up like 6 minutes into the show and just be like, all right, look. Nothing happened. I got this. Now if I don't stand up 6 minutes into the show, it's going to look bad, huh? Oh, yeah. So that's going to be fun. That's Formula Friends. We have a whole host of topics we've already planned out to chat about all that. So we should be good to go. That's going to be in 4 hours. 4 hours from now. So.
On whose show?
Both of our channels. We're still working out the logistics for that, but for now, her stream has been having some issues as of late, so if it goes down, we don't want the whole thing to get kind of, kerflubbled. So, both channels for now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Sounds good. All right, and that's what I got going on. Other than that, we've got support show next week. We need to find a guest list. There's going to be both tanks and healers because the following week is the job. We don't want to do it after all the job action stuff happens. That would be.
No.
Yeah. That would be really weird. Be like, yeah, I know the job action stuff just happened, but let's speculate on what's going to happen. Right. And then after that job action trailer, and then we'll probably revisit some things, just over the weeks after. I mean, there should be plenty to talk about after the job action trailer hits. So should be fine. But with that, we're going to wrap up the show. Thanks to the sponsors over on Patreon again for supporting. Appreciate it as always. And SteelSeries, thanks for the sponsorship as always. And we're going to go into a short post show, just a few minutes, just to wind down. And then we will be on our ways. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Exu, one last time, thank you again for joining. Hopefully we can have you on thank again you so sometime much, in Exu. The future, especially post Dawn sure. Trail when we have all the information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, with that, everyone, have a good weekend. See you for Formula Friends, or Sly will see you for First Saturday or tonight or whatever the heck's going on. X, are you streaming this weekend?
Yes.
Today or tomorrow?
Probably tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow. All right. And X, you're streaming tomorrow too, so you got plenty of stuff to watch over the weekend. We'll see you next week here on State of the Realm, though. Until then, bye-bye.
Take care. Enjoy your Kentucky Derby.